FM. The Power Breakfast, 6 to 10 a.m.
Right here on your 1-8 station.
Power FM.
The Power FM News, brought to you by Techno Accessories. Techno, say hello to original.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News.
Opposition Citizens First leader Harry Kalawaz disclosed that 5 opposition political parties are to endorse him as presidential candidate in next year's polls.
The Alliance for Accountability Advocates Zambia, AAAZ, has called on the government to provide detailed information on purported drug improvement.
Togo holds first local election since controversial power shift.
And finally, in sports news, Chipolopolo coach Hopley eyes hand against Super Falcons.
And now, the Power FM News.
With upfront and reliable power news every day, I'm Shekinah Sakala.
And I'm Grace Wanji.
Opposition's first leader, Harry Kalawaz, disclosed that 5 opposition political parties are to endorse him as a presidential candidate ahead of the 2026 general elections. The opposition leader says the said alliance will soon announce his endorsement, and the move, he said, will help put a strong challenge against the incumbent head of state, Hakainde Hichilema. Mr. Kalawa, however, has warned that going solo into next year's polls will be disastrous to the opposition, adding that the said elections will be for the first time put to test the 50% plus one vote clause of the Republican president, as no presidential candidate will be able to secure the said election threshold. Mr. Kalawa has therefore underscored the need for opposition political parties to join hands for the good cause if they are to remove the ruling United Party for National Development from power.
Your anxiety at a relaxed position is that we are yet to formally announce. So it will be premature of me to begin announcing when we have not formally announced. So give us time to formally announce, then you will know them. But for now, just know that 5 political parties have said we are going with Harry Kalawaz. Now, if these 5 have already said that, it means they are not solo.
In another development, opposition Democratic Union leader Akim Njovu has criticized government's continued chase for global finance to fund key sustainable development goals, SDGs. Mr. Njovu has therefore challenged government to put more efforts in local resource mobilization to fund some of the SDGs, especially those aimed at alleviating poverty and advancing education in the country. Mr. Njovu, who is an economist by profession, highlighted the significance of local resource mobilization to national development. His calls comes following government's push for strong global financing to achieve some of the SDGs. Recently, government called for accelerated global efforts in financing the goals.
So in some way, it's trying to run away from responsibility if you want to look for global funds to find some of the SDGs. Because I think if you were to look at the more sensitive ones, which I would want to pay attention to, is alleviating poverty. Whose responsibility is it? It's the leaders of each country to fight poverty. So you don't expect somebody from outside your country to fund that same project of fighting poverty. It's the responsibility of the leaders to mobilize the resources that they have in that country and embark on an agenda to fighting poverty through employment creation and also economic empowerment of its citizens through various policies. So it's not the responsibility of the international community to fight poverty in their countries. It becomes just an international goal that each country should fight for, but otherwise implementation and achievement should be done by the countries. So if a country is like Zambia asking for dollars to fund the fight against the poverty, then what are they themselves going to do?
The Alliance for Accountability Advocates Zambia, AAAZ, is calling on the government to provide detailed, verifiable data to the public regarding the reported improvement in drug availability in public health facilities as opposed to mere announcements. AAZ Executive Director Luchembe Chilufya says that while the Alliance acknowledges President Hakainde Hichilema's recent update on posted on his official Facebook page, the Alliance believes that such progress must be measured not only in percentages but on what reflects on the ground. Last week, President Hichilema disclosed that he held a meeting with stakeholders on drug availability, where he stated that drug availability has increased from 46% in 2021 to 80.5% this year. Meanwhile, Mr. Chilufya has urged the Ministry of Health and the Zambia Medicines and Medical Supplies Agency to provide a breakdown of the 80.5% drug availability statistic, clearly indicating which regions and what categories of medicines are now consistently available. He added that while the President Hichilema's stock-taking meeting suggests progress, the lack of open community-verified reporting creates a credibility gap that must be urgently addressed. Mr. Chilufya has since commended government for the increase in pharmaceutical funding, but emphasized that the numbers without transparency and accountability offer limited reassurance to communities who continue to face gaps in accessing life-saving medicines.
We call for transparency and the public accountability on drug availability claims. The government should go beyond announcements and provide detailed, verifiable data to the public regarding the reported improvement in drug availability in public health facilities. We acknowledge that President Hichilema has updates posted on July 11, 2025 on his Facebook page following the stock-taking meeting on drug availability held at State House, where he stated that drug availability has increased from 46% in 2021 to 80.5% in 2025. We believe such progress must be measured not only in percentages, but in people's lived experiences. Of course, we commend the government's increase in pharmaceutical funding, but we also emphasize that numbers without transparency and accountability offer limited reassurance to communities who continue to face access to life-saving medications.
Dr. Agarwal's Eye Hospital has announced a new cornea eye transplantation for individuals with sight challenges on the Copper Belt province. Speaking during a media briefing, hospital consultant ophthalmologist Dr. Saisri Maji said the initiative aims to help restore sight among individuals with blindness without necessarily traveling to India for such services. She mentioned that this service is an opportunity for patients struggling with cornea blindness and other vision challenges. Dr. Maji has therefore urged members of the public in need of this procedure to take full advantage of the facilities in the region, further assuring that the procedures are well equipped, making it safe for patients.
Very glad and happy to announce that we at Agarwal Eye Hospital, apart from cornea services, we have also introduced for the first time in the Copper Belt area the cornea transplantation services. So I request each one who is in need and feel that these services are necessary, request you to please get the facilities to the best of your utilization. So since it's a cornea awareness program, let's start basically what cornea is. Cornea is nothing but like how we have the glass on the dial of the watch. Over the black portion of the eye, there is a dome-shaped transparent structure called cornea. And cornea is very important for each one of us to appreciate things very clearly. Injury to the cornea, if only cornea is damaged, we can repair that injury first. And after some time, once the injury is completely healed, then we can do a corneal transplantation procedure, provided all the other structures in the eye are normal. Then that person will have a better vision in near future.
An eye patient, Betty Mwenda, who recently got a transplant on both eyes, has encouraged people with a similar eye challenge to capitalize on this initiative.
Journey to come here, I had cornea issues, so I was told about Dr. Agarwal's Eye Hospital. At the time, it wasn't available in Kitwe. I had to go to Lusaka. That's where I had my first transplant. And before I had the cornea transplant, I couldn't see from a very far distance. I would have to bring something close to my face to be able to see. But after the cornea transplant was done, less than a month after it was done successfully, I could see just fine. And yes, I did have scares, but I knew it was going to be weighted at the end of the day if I was going to be able to see it. Then the second eye was done yesterday. It's still swollen and I can't open it up, but I'm confident that it's going to heal just as well as the first.